All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. It's 10:30 a.m. We'll call this meeting to order. We'll begin our meeting with an invocation led by Commissioner Pierce, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance led by Commissioner Bush. If you feel led to rise.
Dear God, we pause now to thank you for all the many wonderful things that you've done. We thank you for this great country that we live in. We ask that you bless us, help us do things in the right way, and do it in your honor. We ask that you be with our employees and keep them safe today. In God's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, is there any representative present today for Men's Health Month? Okay. We'll begin our agenda today with items under purchasing. Item A is consider and approve specifications for requests for proposals for comprehensive inmate technology services packages for Jefferson County Correctional Facility, Downtown Jail, and Minnie Rogers Juvenile Justice Center. Item B is consider and approve, execute, receive, and file a job order contract with Preferred Facilities Group USA for the service center drywall repairs in the amount of $1,729.85 with Choice Partners Jock Texas contract. Item C is consider and approve a contract renewal for food service consulting and management services for Jefferson County Correctional Facility for a second one-year option with Trinity Services Group, Inc. from June 15, 2022 to June 14, 2023. And item D is to execute, receive, and file a contract renewal for a term contract catalog pricing for janitorial supplies for Jefferson County for a third one-year option with Auto Chlor Services, LLC, Certified Laboratories, The Home Depot Pro, ICS Gel Supplies, Inc., Interborough Packaging Corporation, Material Paper, and Unipack Corporation from November 16, 2021 to November 15, 2022. And item E is consider and approve disposition of salvage properties authorized by Local Government Code Section 263.1523 for broken or obsolete items. Do I have a motion on those items under purchasing? Moved by Commissioner Alford.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Bush. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Auditor, we have several items. Item A is consider approval of a budget amendment for elections for additional costs for elections and runoffs in the amount of $100,000. Item B is consider and approve a budget transfer for Constable Precinct 1, additional costs for travel in the amount of $1,000. Item C is consider and approve budget transfer for Constable Precinct 6 for additional costs for travel in the amount of $2,100. Item D is consider and approve a budget amendment for the Service Center for additional costs for fuel in the amount of $100,000. Item E is to receive and file financial and operating statements for county funds only for the month ending April 30th, 2022. Item F is consider and approve electronic disbursement. Sorry, my eyes are watering. For $865,457.91 to LaSalle for revenue received from entities for inmate housing. Item G is to receive and file a subrecipient agreement with Tender Loving Care Center for Children, DBA, Legacy, Community Development for the administration of the Emergency Rental Assistance Program Round 2 funds. Item H is consider and approve electronic disbursement for $511,262.77 to Regional Planning Commission for payment of claims. Item I is regular county bills, check numbers 495294. Through 495510. Do I have a motion on those items under audit?
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, second by Commissioner Pierce. Discussion?
Go ahead.
Well, I have this in here. On these travels, since we're not in a legislative year, is it new employees or something of that nature, or what?
Let Frank tell you. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's cost or they're just trying to catch up on some of their training.
I think some of it's newer employees for them, and now that these conferences are back in person, they're catching up from okay. prior years.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Patrick, on this item A, Ms. Lisa, also the reimbursement, are we being reimbursed by the runoff? So some of this is reimbursed?
Yeah, some of it is part of that memo. I think, as Fran had it indicated, we might be able to put some of this back into contingency based on reimbursements that come in, but we won't get 100% reimbursed for this.
Okay, I'm trying to figure why did it go up, because I saw three memos this week on transfer, but I didn't see one on this particular one, so I guess I missed it.
I did not see that.
It's for the, we had the primaries, which on the primaries, we're responsible for early voting. Then you've got the runoff for that one. You've had the May 7th election, which is a shared cost, and City of Port Arthur's. And their runoff. So some of this is kind of having to front the money to get the election workers paid, but once she's produced the bills and I have a firm number of what our reimbursements, we can then come back and remove any excess and move it back to contingency.
Okay, you have another election June
11th?
Right. And that's
not going to be shared, though.
That one's not shared, I don't believe, the runoff.
With the City of Port Arthur?
City of Port Arthur.
Right, so it should be 100% reimbursed.
So it is?
Yeah.
But we'll still have to pay it up front, and then once she produces that bill, then I'll combine it all together.
All right, thank you.
I have one question on item H, that $511,000. Is that for the apartment rent?
Yeah, that's program? The final last payment to pay the claims on Era 1.
Right.
So that finishes them out. That program is done.
That was going to be my second question.
That's it.
That should be it.
Yeah, that's the final payment to them. There's no other money available on that program.
Except for the new vendor.
Yeah, well, the Era 2 is Era total, two. A separate allocation.
Right.
And so that program is, Vivian's here, but the plan is to try to kick that off beginning of June.
Thank you.
All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A is considering possibly approve a resolution recognizing Bonnie Jones for 35 years and 7 months of service to Jefferson County and the citizens of Jefferson County and wishing her well in her retirement. And item B is to receive and file executed amended tax abatement agreement between Jefferson County and Suez WTS USA, Inc., for a property located in their Project Clear Reinvestment Zone pursuant to Texas Tax Code 312.401. Item C is consider and approve authorizing the county judge to sign the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program application certification for grant number 4485. Item D is consider and approve a revised resolution committing Jefferson County to provide local matching funds secured from individual homeowners to complete the FEMA Hazard Mitigation Grant Project. Item E is considering possibly approve a proclamation for National Men's Health Month. Item F is consider possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute an amended tax abatement agreement between Jefferson County and Aditya Birla Chemicals for Project Raman to reflect a corporate name change pursuant to Texas Tax Code 312.401. And item G is considering possibly approve and authorize county judge to execute an amended tax abatement agreement between Jefferson County and Aditya Birla Chemicals for Project Roman to reflect a corporate name change pursuant to Texas Tax Code 312.401. And via addendum, item H is considering approve a 30-day extension for Jefferson County Emergency Services District Number 3 to file its annual audit for 2021-2022 pursuant to Texas Health and Safety Code 775.082. Item I is considering possibly approve a 30-day extension for Jefferson County Emergency Services.
Number 4, huh? Is this number 4?
Yeah, that should be number 4.
Yes, sir.
Services District Number 4 to file its annual audit for 2021-22 pursuant to Texas Health and Safety Code 775.082. Do I have a motion on those items under Commissioners?
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Treasurer, we have two items. Item A is considering possibly authorized County Treasurer to execute a release of excess collateral with Wells Fargo Bank N.A. through the Bank of New York Mellon for the funds of Jefferson County. And item B is to receive and file the investment schedule for April 2022, including the year-to-date total earnings on county funds. Do I have a motion on those two items?
So moved. Second.
Been moved.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And that completes our regular agenda. Now come to a time of public comment. So if you're present online, you'll need to press star 6 to unmute your line. If you're present in the courtroom, you can come to the lectern and introduce yourself. I would note that just now I got a email from Greg Boswick. There is a pretty significant storm system that's moving in from offshore and will move onshore here in the next hour. Gusty winds to 40 miles per hour, lightning strikes, rainfall totals 1 to 2 inches can be expected in the heavier sail, with conditions expecting to improve later this afternoon. But it might get bad here in the next hour. Commissioners? Anything y'all need to bring to the attention of the public without our taking action?
Judge, I'd like to make some announcements, if
yes,
that's
ma'am.
Okay. Today's election day, and we encourage everybody to go out soon and beat the storm and vote, please. Our Port Arthur runoff, as we mentioned, is Saturday, June the 11th, from 7 to 7. Early voting begins next week. Monday is a holiday, but it will start Tuesday through Saturday from 8 to 5, and the following Monday and Tuesday, June 6th and 7th, from 7 in the morning till 7 in the afternoon.
That's
till
for the 7. Port Arthur runoff?
That's Port Arthur runoff. We have early voting locations, our Port Arthur Library and the sub-courthouse, and then all of the Precinct 3 voting locations for Jefferson County will be open for Election Day for the City of Port Arthur. I also wanted to give you all an update on our election equipment. So Tuesday, June the 7th, in the afternoon, beginning around 1 o'clock, ESNS, one of the state vendors, will be here in Beaumont. And on the next day, on Wednesday, June the 8th, in the afternoon, HART, the other vendor approved by the state of Texas, will be in the jury, both will be in the jury and paneling room in the afternoons. And I invite you all to please try to come by and watch part of the demonstrations. The way this might work, I talked with both vendors, and this is the procedure that they were most interested in doing, that we'll have, they will make a presentation first about their equipment and do a demonstration, and then have people come forward and actually vote on the equipment. I have invited the Democrat Party and the Republican Party to bring their members, and also I have asked them to please bring members of the disabled community, and have asked them to designate certain people from their parties to be the ones to actually test the equipment. So we have a little bit more of a controlled process, and the companies both want a beginning time and an ending time, and I think both will start around 1, and we haven't quite figured out about how long they think it will take, but they certainly want everybody who's there to have a answer a question or whatever they want to do. And then the following Tuesday, June the 14th, I would like to propose that we have a workshop here And we have both vendors come, one for about 45 minutes before Commissioner's Court, and then one for about 45 minutes after Commissioner's Court, that June the 14th.
Okay.
That's Tuesday, June the 14th. Just to kind of answer some of your all's questions, or I don't know how you all would want that to work, or that members of the audience could ask some additional questions or make some comments. I don't know how you all want to work that out. Does that sound okay with you all? Is that timing okay? And then I would suppose at some point later.
Trial?
No. Let's get a day where we get, let's get a day.
I would be the only one that would be.
But, Judge, let's get a day where we all can get a chance to sit down and have them come at that one day, not the court day. Get a day where they can come and sit down and you set their times up, and then we can go through it that way.
Okay.
I don't think court day is a good day.
Why don't you look at the 15th or the 16th?
Okay.
See what we can do
there. Okay, that'll be great. And then I think our staff would very much like to be here. I'd like to introduce you all to everybody, and then I think our staff would like to present some pros and cons to that about the equipment, too.
Okay, do y'all have any problem 15th or 16th? Can y'all look at your calendar? While they're looking, let me talk a little bit about our jury pools. We went for a year without having juries around here. As a result, we had a lot of people got stacked up in the jail. We had situations where Texas Department of Criminal Justice was not accepting inmates during the height of the COVID pandemic. Our civil and criminal courts and family law courts could not function appropriately because of the lack of juries to resolve issues. And obviously the Seventh Amendment of the United States Constitution gives people the right to air their grievances before juries. But we've run into a problem as of late, and that is that Jamie Smith is sending out jury summons, and the iJury system is very easy to use. People can go online and sign up. If they don't have a computer at home, they can go see the district clerk's office. They'll help people to sign up. But we've gotten to the point lately where only about 5% of people that are getting jury summons are responding. This has inhibited the workings of the district and county courts at law. So we have 8 district courts in Jefferson County, 4 civil, 2 criminal, 2 domestic relations, our family. We have 3 county courts at law. That are responsible for the cases that primarily misdemeanor cases, and 2 criminal district courts are responsible for the felonies. They need to be able to function properly, and that depends on the people of our community showing up, registering for jury service, because it's not only a duty, an obligation, it's a privilege to have the opportunity to serve and to participate in the process. And it's something that those people that are accused of crimes and could be deprived of their liberty deserve to have peers from their community to show up and participate in the process. So I want to encourage all members of the public to respond to those jury summons and to participate in the process. It's going to be very unfortunate, but probably in the very near future, in the event that we don't have the willing participation of the public, then each of these courts is going to have to start taking up a lot of law enforcement time to send people out, to send law enforcement officers out to bring people who've not responded in to the courthouse to serve, and that would be a huge waste of law enforcement time. It would be a terrible inconvenience to individuals who might be working on their job or in other activities to be hauled into court, and we don't want to get to that point. We want people to voluntarily participate to see it not only as a duty and obligation, but also as a privilege to participate in the process. So I want to encourage everybody out there to sign up. So, commissioners, have y'all had an opportunity to look at the 15th and 16th?
Judge, on the 15th during lunchtime, I have a conflict between 11:30 and 1. So if you can work around that.
And I'll have a conflict on the 15th between 9 and 10 with some probate matters. But other than that, I'll be able to participate.
Laura, those dates of those workshops that you mentioned, the combination, would you send that in an email to us, please?
Yes.
And I assume they'd be open to the public?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, it looks like everybody else is good. So.
For the 15th, I'm sorry?
15th and 16th. It looks like we're good. So we'll let us know.
Okay. Thank you.
Judge, real quick, Ms. Lister, would you explain how the procedure with the state statute is from the Secretary of State, rather, on canceling the mail-in ballot?
Yes, sir.
The exact procedure.
Yes, sir. We keep asking them questions about this, and we always get the same response. So I just want to make this real clear. The law was changed December of 2021. And it has to do with this new Senate bill with the mail-in ballots. Everything has changed. And if a voter has a mail ballot and they come to the polling location and they surrender their ballot, they have it in hand and they surrender it, fill out a form, they can vote directly. If they come to the polling location and they don't have their ballot for whatever reason, maybe it wasn't, they didn't receive it in the mail, or maybe it has been in the process of being mailed back to them to be cured, they have to vote provisionally. And all of that will be cleared up when the early voting ballot board meets and looks through the provisional ballots and sees if that voter has also voted by mail ballot or not. And so their vote counts, they vote provisionally, but it will be cleared up through the early voting ballot board during that final process.
Early voting ballot board is selected by the two parties?
Yes, but you all approve them.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, it's a process. I mean, it's a legal process with steps that they have to go through, and it's worked.
Yeah, and I want you to clear that up, because I did speak with the Secretary of State, and that's pretty much what they said. My concerns are, a lot of time the provisional ballots come in days later and you have contested race, so that's another issue that the state.
And let me just, they have days after the election to clear up that. That's if they come and vote provisionally and they don't have their identification. The ballot board can clear this situation up with mail ballots fairly quickly. They just want to make sure that the ballot has not come in, has not come in the mail between the time that the voter mailed it and they went to the polls. So that's an easy check with, these mail ballot situations have made everything a little bit more complicated.
Right. And thank you for making me aware of something that I didn't know, because I find it very disturbing, the answer that I got, not from you, but from the Secretary of State, that if a poll worker does something that questions the integrity of our elections, which we're responsible for, is why I asked about who's paying for these elections. If the parties are giving us the money, I think they should have a voice in some of the decisions. But when a poll worker does something that's unethical, or again, and you agreed with me that something was done, you should have the final say. I guess the Secretary of State don't feel that way, and I have a problem with the parties being able to remove a poll worker or a poll judge once they do something unethical. I did call the Secretary of State, and they did confirm exactly what you told me. So I think that's something we're going to have to, one thing's going to happen to me, I'm going to look at that list a lot closer from now when we approve these people that work for these elections. And I will call names out if it's legal for me to call a name or just reject that name or not vote for any, because I think the integrity of Jefferson County elections have been intact. We haven't had any questions. And I think now we're starting to get some questions that divides us, and I have a problem with that. So thank you.
Anything else, gentlemen? All right. Well, thank you all so very much for being here today. Nothing further than we are adjourned.
All right.